Cheers.
Good talking with you. Bye. And thanks to Samer, Jade, Sarah, and Rick, all of them helping us today. I'm Esti Dinor. Bye-bye. Stay tuned for the Funny Boys.
You're listening to WORT Madison.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got to you. Wow. I feel nice. The sugar runs by. I feel nice. The sugar runs by. So nice. So nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel.
And he's Floyd.
Hey, Floyd's here.
I'm here.
Floyd.
I'm happy to be here.
How's the assignment going?
It's going pretty well. Yeah. Yeah. I ran out of paper in my printer, so.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens.
I know.
So. You should be like Trump and have someone follow you around. I knew he had people print out like positive stories for him and stuff.
Right.
Because he's always like, you know, like. Has him print out the internet for him.
Yes,
and
yes.
He goes and waves it at the reporters. But I found he has a person who's got a you're nodding, you know this.
Yes,
he's got a portable print. This person has a portable printer, and she has to print out these stories on the move, and hand
like
them
to
him.
Like playing golf, or yeah, it's
constant affirmation.
I know, it's like I can't imagine the hollow. That is his soul.
I know.
Just has to constantly feed it. Otherwise,
someone said something good about me from, you know, and it's from Fox News or Newsmax
or One America News.
And it's like, yeah, that means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But I hadn't heard about the person, the poor woman with portable printer.
Follow him around and print out the stories and hand them. Oh, this just in.
Right off the teletype. Right off the oh, I just got a fax here.
A very smart man. Yeah. You know the type. He said, you're a really good leader. Here it is in black and white.
Wow.
Oh, going through life like that.
I'd feel sad for him if he wasn't.
Yeah, I would
who
too.
He is.
Yeah, I would feel sorry for him if he had not wrought so much havoc on our lives and our country.
And
yeah,
probably responsible for the death of maybe a million people.
Yeah, maybe at least a half a million. Yeah.
Well, that's just from drinking the bleach.
Right. Yeah, I find if you put a little vodka in it, it goes down easier.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
A little ice or?
Yeah, a little ice, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on, you know, if you're just looking to catch the buzz, then you just pour the bleach and the vodka together.
Sure.
And
cleans you out. And
yeah, it cleans the whole system right on down the line.
And tell me, how do you get the fluorescent light inside you? Maybe don't tell us that.
No, it's a probe. You can get anything off the internet these days.
I read this morning that Google has an AI chatbot.
Yes, it's called they do.
Gemini or something.
Yeah.
I actually played around with it. It's kind of fun. But it's having a little trouble because it doesn't realize The Onion is satire.
It says America's greatest news source right there, right on it.
So it was recommending that people eat tiny little rocks every day.
One rock a day was its recommendation.
Was that it? Just one rock?
One small rock a day.
Small. Well, it's a small one. And there was another one about how you should use butt plugs at the gym to help you lift more.
Yes. Can't remember what they called them. I just read that. Actually, I may have that somewhere, but yeah.
So we're not quite there with AI.
Not quite there yet. Close.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that Mel and Pants and I are real people. We have no artificial intelligence.
No,
and,
no.
Two
very,
of us have
no
intelligence
natural.
At all.
Yeah, Pants is in Idaho this weekend.
Oh,
just visiting his
cornfield
aunt.
Sway and moan.
And he's. You know, we wrote a satire a long time ago, and that stuff is real now.
It is real. Yeah,
I mean,
it's all true. Death penalty for abortion.
The most startling one is we had a crazy candidate who advocated the death penalty for women who have abortions.
Yeah, hanged by the neck until dead is the wording I'm leaning toward now.
And even though it was a comedy, like when he said that, this place got really uncomfortable and quiet. And now, I mean, you see that every week now.
Yes,
it's like, well, there's going to be some penalty.
It.
Oh, that's murder. And,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, death penalty shouldn't be off the table for that. What?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, how far we've come as a country.
Yeah, someone close that window.
Yeah,
let's close that Overton window.
Yeah, that's right. Just slam that shut and latch it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do have some words. I don't want to do a lot of Trump stuff because it. You know, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And I have to, like, pull back every once in a while, because especially during the trial, it's like, oh, tell me what went on. And
yeah, it's like every...
It's like a soap opera.
Day there's new
But then
stuff.
I have to stop and go, no, this isn't good for you.
It's unhealthy to think about that narcissistic
But I do have to share this quote, because, you know, a lot of... This is, you know, people get, like, the calendars with quotes, you know,
right.
for inspirational
quote of the day.
Quote of the day. I think this is going to end up on some calendars next year. And this is former President Trump talking. Some of the greatest days of my business career were the toughest times, but I enjoyed waking up every single morning and go to battle. A lot of people say to me today, the toughest business people that you know about, could I ask you a question? How do you do it? I say, do what? How do you get up in the morning and put your pants on? Why do you put the pants on? I'll explain it to you someday. How did you do it? How do you get up, and how do you do it? How do you put your pants on?
How do you put your pants on?
Well, first the diaper.
Right. And then you go from there.
Yeah.
For me, my goal in life is to always have my pants on by noon.
Pants become a lot less important as when you quit working.
Yeah, that's true.
Or as people discovered when you work from home.
Yes. But, yeah, I think he misunderstood the tone of that question.
Yeah.
It was like, how do you even put your pants on? I've wondered that myself. How does he even dress himself?
Well, I was thinking about that the other day, and this isn't an original thought, but the way he dresses is essentially a costume.
Right.
I think that's his appeal to a lot of his fans, is that he's this stereotype of this hard driving, yelling boss who pounds the table and says, get it done. And, you know, we see this in the movies all the time. The nerd comes in and goes, it's going to take 3 hours for the program to run. And the boss pounds the table and goes, make it 2 hours. You know, and it's like, well, I can't, you know, in real life, it's like, I can't make the computer go faster.
But in the movies.
In the movies, if you just yell
and gets it done.
Yeah, maybe turn a table over or something.
Right, or throw some ketchup.
So people, you know, have that stereotype of that. Oh, that's a leader. That's
what a leader looks like.
Yeah, and they probably had experience with that in their life with
the guy in the
cranky
blue
boss.
Suit, white shirt, and long red
yelling
tie,
at you,
yelling
you know?
At you.
So I think it kind of, you know, I think I think mythology is really important in to humans, and this is kind of like our modern mythology. It's like, oh, that's what, you know, the tough talking leader was going to go in there and kick some ass, and you know,
he's our own special Zeus.
I don't know about Zeus. Well,
boinking his kids. That's a lot.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Zeus was kind of a jerk.
Yeah, he was.
Well, not kind of. He was.
No, he totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
As are all gods, actually, if you look at him.
I loved it when Zeus's wife would catch him and get mad at him, and he would like be in the doghouse. I
mean, right,
he's like the king of the universe.
Yes,
the top.
Yeah.
But if his wife was mad at him, it was like, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's a sitcom.
Caught me turning into a shower of gold again. I didn't understand that as a kid.
I
unfortunately understand it now as an adult. But.
A lot of things have become all too clear.
Why would they do that? But his wife would kick his ass when she'd find out, or he'd have to hide from her.
Have to hide.
It was like the Honeymooners episode or something.
Straight to the moon. I'm admiring the new.
You haven't been in here a while.
No, I haven't been in the studio in probably a year.
Really?
I don't know. Time means nothing. Pants on before noon. That's about it.
But quantum entanglement.
Yep, that's it. It's an artificial construct. I particularly enjoyed the microphone numbers.
The little blocks.
Yeah, the little microphone number blocks. Those are awesome.
You can read those.
Yeah, and the microphone stand does not gradually sink down over the course of the show.
Yeah, we got it some help.
Yeah,
it was embarrassed to get help for a long time.
Well, you know, you'd rub it and nothing would happen.
we come in and talk dirty.
Still.
No effect.
Slap it around a little. But so this is, it seems like things are improving here.
Yeah.
At the station. New board in the other room.
I worked the new board on the news a week and a half ago. That was nice.
I still haven't gotten trained on the old board.
Any day now.
One of these days I'll sign up.
Just, once you figure out how to put your pants on.
Yeah. How do you do it? My God, man. How do you do it?
So Morgan Spurlock died.
I saw that.
The Super Size Me guy.
Yeah, I was shocked.
He did the documentary showing what happens to you when you spend a month consuming nothing but McDonald's food and a quart of whiskey a day.
Yes. Which inspired a whole lot of people. But apparently what happens is you get cancer and die at 53.
Yeah.
Sad.
I mean, some problematic things there in his life. He had some sexual harassment.
Oh, did he?
Issues.
Yeah. I hadn't followed him that closely. Super Size Me.
And then he said, "Well, I was drunk at the time." So.
Oh well, there you go.
I was drunk for most of my life, which not to make fun of it,
right.
But that might have been important to mention in the documentary when watching his health decline.
Yes.
When the doctor said your liver is really bad, it's like, yeah, it's the French fries.
French fries. Yep.
But
but
like everything, he puts out the documentary and then there's like about 8 million things debunking everything in there.
Right.
And why it wasn't real. Well, it wasn't a scientific experiment.
No, it wasn't supposed to be
entertainment.
It's a TV show.
Yeah. So
yeah. It's just a it's TV like, show. Like, you like really re- should relax.
Reality.
Yeah.
Like reality. So but I did like the only part I really liked. That was pretty good, but I liked the part where his girlfriend was complaining about how lousy he was in bed since he's been eating McDonald's for so long. He's got no energy. He just lays there.
Just lays there. I thought that was an improvement. At least I'm awake.
That's a segue into my first story here.
Okay, all right.
Michigan seeks to outlaw sexual activity with dead bodies.
Finally.
You're from Michigan.
I am.
Is this a big problem in Michigan?
We just call it Friday night.
I had an old relationship where I was worried I was going to get busted for that. But turned out she was just English.
Yeah, but no, I'm surprised that it hasn't been illegal.
Well, they're strengthening state laws as it relates to necrophilia.
I mean, you couldn't actually molest a corpse, I think. I think it was illegal to...
Yeah.
I mean, to, at least...
Without consent.
Right, that's what they tried to charge me with that one time.
Well, he nodded.
Yeah.
make it a crime to engage in any sexual contact with a dead human body. Current law stops at prohibiting the unlawful mutilation, defacing, or moving of a body.
Oh, okay.
So they added necrophilia wasn't specifically mentioned.
Right, so the nodding part. No, I moved the body. Well, that's nice.
I love the true crime shows when they'll have somebody who like murdered 7,000 people, and then they also tack on, you know, the charge of mutilating a corpse.
Yeah, too. Or like, hiding a corpse.
Yeah, there's like 90 like, days for that.
Yeah. The other 327 murder charges. We'll run those concurrently.
Yeah, so. All right, I want to do one more Trump thing. We haven't.
Okay, you know, all right. I haven't really plumbed the depths of Trump yet.
Here, so, thank God.
Yeah.
So they reposted something on Truth Social on Trump's feed earlier this week, and it was something called "What's Next for America," and it flashed a bunch of headlines, you know, fake headlines, and one of them was like the said something about the reestablishment of the Reich.
Yes, right. That was a video.
The Reich stuff.
Yeah, the Reich stuff.
and the article I read, this shows how people, the media, just bends over backwards to normalize these things.
Yeah, I don't think it's backwards they're bending over, but.
Well, yeah. But they had this explanation of, well, the Reich doesn't necessarily mean Nazi Germany, because there was the establishment of the Reich was in, you know, 1890 or something.
Other Reichs.
That brought Bismarck. Yeah. Well, it was the third one. You know?
Yeah, right.
It's like,
yeah. We're in what, fifth, sixth?
Yeah,
and
the third one's never as good as the first two.
You suffer through the second, hoping to get to the third one where everything finally makes sense.
Yeah.
All the plot points in the previous two get carried.
Right.
But no, it didn't work that way.
Yeah. So, but of course it was like an overzealous
staffer
or something who, you know, they didn't really mean to, you know, essentially tweet out something about
not
at reestablishing the Reich.
Right.
Just like those two dozen other times they've, you know, made some sort of Nazi reference.
You almost start to think that maybe every staffer is overzealous.
They should cut back on the
zealotry.
The zealot. Too much zealotry in your diet. Well, that and it's like every time a Republican runs a campaign ad with like military stuff in it, then somebody of course looks at it and goes, "Oh, those are Russian makes."
Yeah, right.
It's always Russian stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Who's doing your media for you?
Yeah, and like, how are they getting paid?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's happened way too many times.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah. That's because of just how zealous those staffers are.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's it.
You should.
That's what I choke it up. Choke it up to
some zealotry training or something.
Ask your doctor if de-zealotry is right for you.
Well, this, you know, your first day on the job, you stumble. Yep. Well, you know, you're all overzealous.
Yeah,
and we're gonna try to dial that back a little bit.
That's why we hired you. Now we're gonna dial that back.
If your zealotry is at 11, we want to dial it back to like an 8 or a 7.
Yeah. Well, speaking of zealotry,
yes,
the Pope Francis, lighten up Francis, paved the way for the canonization of the first saint of the millennial generation on Thursday.
I saw that.
He attributed a second miracle to the 15-year-old Italian computer whiz who died of leukemia in 2006.
Mm.
Yeah. So what was
the miracle? Did he like not lose any socks in the wash?
Yeah,
or something,
right.
Or?
Let's see.
I think he healed people.
I'm trying to see what he did.
He healed a couple of
did
people.
Did he heal a couple?
Yeah.
He's a patron saint of the internet, and he's been beatified, which is the first step toward canonization, I guess.
It's like being simonized.
Yes. Yeah. Only without that lovely gleam.
Or croisened.
Fully croisened. He's only halfway croisened.
I've been crazened by the Pope.
I even got to kiss his ring. So, so actually, Cardinal Marcello Semeraro is the head of the Vatican's saint making department.
Oh, okay.
So they've got this whole department.
They stamp them out.
Yeah, they run them through.
I thought they outsourced that.
No, they did for a while in the 70s, but nothing really came of it. So they spent a whole lot of time looking at saints, but never actually made one.
Yeah, that's just
Yeah.
typical consultant. You know.
Yep. So they're going to have a consistory of cardinals to deliberate the canonization of...
Is that like a pride of lions or something? Or,
yeah, that's a consistory of cardinals, like an exaltation of larks.
Murder of crows.
Yeah. He used his this kid.
Yes.
He was...
He died really young, like 15, I guess.
Carlo Acutis.
Should have healed himself.
Yeah, he should have. Yeah. I guess that's... You can't...
Put myself in timeout. I'm sorry. Right.
I think that would have made it so he wouldn't have been a saint. I think that would have been...
It's all part of the plan.
Yeah, you got to be selfless to be a saint.
Oh, okay.
Any selfishness gets in the way.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That's according to the Vatican saint-making department.
The Department of Saints and Standards.
Yes. Yeah, he used his natural tech talent to create a website to catalog miracles.
I created a website.
Yeah, I created a website too. Yeah.
More than one.
Yeah. Far too many, actually. But none of them cataloged miracles.
That's true.
And he also took care of websites for some other local Catholic organizations, which, you know, it'd take a miracle.
Yeah.
And he was a self-starter at 15.
Yeah.
Yep. While still in elementary school, he taught himself to code using a university computer science textbook.
Oh, very cool. Good for him.
Yeah. And he learned how to edit videos and create animation.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was put on the road to sainthood after Pope Francis approved the first miracle attributed to him, which was, the healing of a 7-year-old Brazilian boy from a rare pancreatic disorder after coming into contact with an Acutis relic, a piece of one of his T-shirts.
Really?
Yeah. And the kid was miraculously healed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's that's not just one of your run-of-the-mill miracles. This is pretty much like, you know, when you set a record for the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
You have to have, like, a pint of Guinness and some other thing there and people to observe you doing this.
Right.
So people apparently observed
his T-shirt,
the kid hold the T-shirt, and then get healed.
Okay.
Yeah. Second miracle.
But you should ask your doctor if that's right for you.
That's true. Yeah.
Don't just go out and grab a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Pancreatic problems.
Yeah. It's got to be a special.
Yeah. So, but bring it up with your doctor. Though,
yeah. Sure. Yeah. Ask your doctor if grabbing T-shirts is right for you.
Can you imagine how sick doctors get of people bringing up crap they see on TV? I mean, the second they hear the patient start to breach that, you just hear the eye roll,
yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, I got to have this talk again.
Eyes are rolling so hard they rattle.
No.
And do not Google your symptoms.
You don't have that. You don't need this.
But.
But I saw it on TV. They all looked so happy.
Yeah. They're really pleased.
Bowling and...
all this stuff that I can't do.
Fishing. And
God. Yeah.
All right, so the new saint. What's his name?
Carlo Acutis. Okay. What was the second miracle?
He healed another person.
Oh, yeah.
He's into the healing.
Thing. Oh, a woman from Costa Rica went to his tomb in Assisi to pray for the healing of her daughter.
And her daughter got better.
And the daughter started showing signs of recovery immediately after her mother's plea. Her daughter suffered head trauma after falling off her bicycle.
That's kind of a, no offense to our newest saint here, but that's kind of a lame miracle.
It seems like both of these miracles are really kind of lame. I mean, nobody's.
Well, the first one, at least you had the T-shirt connection.
Right, that's true.
I went and prayed, and then she got better.
Yeah.
I'm not getting the cause and effect here.
But again,
if only Morgan Spurlock was still alive,
he could make a movie documentary about that and get to the bottom of it. Probably examine the Vatican saint-making department to see how well they have done in the past with their making of the saints. How long do these saints last anyway? And have there been any recalls? St. Christopher, he got recalled.
Did he?
Yeah, he was Mr. Christopher.
That's right. They had to downsize a bunch of saints. Well, the pensions were killing them.
I know.
They didn't plan for eternity.
No, they didn't.
What?
the actuarial tables.
Says, well, they stopped at 47 back then.
Yes, so right.
Oh yeah, we can handle this.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
No, I'm insane. I'm going to live forever now.
Yeah, you only got 365 days in a year too. So,
oh, is that it?
You run out of days.
They have a lot of saints, don't they?
They do have a lot of saints.
How come the Lutherans have saints?
You know, that's
because they have like Saint Joseph Lutheran Church.
Right, they do. Yeah.
I grew up Catholic, so we hated the Lutherans.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as you're supposed to.
Yeah. I don't know much about Lutherans. So,
okay.
Yeah, I know more about Congregationalists than Episcopalians.
Yeah.
But I don't know why Lutherans have saints.
You could ask AI.
I could. Yes. Out, so. Well, because they didn't eat enough rocks.
And then that's true. All right. What else is going on? I'll do this. But
his mom and dad weren't religious.
Really?
Yeah. So they were kind of puzzled when he started going to church.
All right. Lutherans don't generally venerate saints, which means they don't pray to them or ask for, you know, their help, like finding lost things. And they honor saints as examples of people who lived faithfully according to Christian teachings. They see saints as testaments to God's grace, demonstrating how faith can work in everyday activities. And related to this...
Mm-hmm.
Lutherans often believe in the sainthood of all believers. Oh, it's like you get like a participation trophy.
Right, yeah. So yeah. Oh, you're a saint, and you're a saint.
All faithful Christians are ultimately saints. This is according to the Google's Gemini is what they call their chatbot.
All right. Well, assuming that's correct, then.
Nothing about eating rocks or butt plugs. So I'm not
sure I'd believe
can
that.
Trust that.
Yeah, right. The butt plug one was so funny because it started on a Reddit. You know,
it was somebody being funny on a Reddit.
Yeah,
that's the problem. I mean, these chatbots are all trained by scouring the internet.
Yeah,
The internet's full of garbage, and it's full of jerks, and it's full of people making jokes that a lot of times aren't funny, and it's you're gonna get some weird stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the earlier ones, they turned like racist really fast.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like trying to make wine out of a bag of grass clippings or something.
What a weird example. I was telling Floyd before the show. I was at a friend's house last night, and she mowed her lawn, and she collected all the clippings, and they were like in two great big lawn bags, and they were really heavy, and I said, those are too heavy for you to screw around with. Here, I'll throw them in my car, and I'll dump them, and I know, you know, there's a place in Oregon you can dump that
just
stuff.
Just the crick to dump them in.
I'm not getting along with my neighbor lately anyway. You know, put some ticks in there and fire ants. And
ticks and fire ants.
But anyway, so I
say... Gifts that keep on giving.
So I say, I'll put them in my car. I put them in the back of my car. And then, but by the time I went home, it was 9:30, 10 o'clock. And it's like, that's too late to screw around with it. I'll do it in the morning. And I came out this morning. I had my car parked outside. And my windows were all fogged up. And I thought, well, it's really humid. And I opened the car door. And it stunk so bad. This grass had like started to like sour or
turn into silage.
It was like a silage silo in there. And it almost knocked me over. I was like, oh, I almost gagged. I had to drive down here with the windows open. And
That thought never would have crossed my mind.
No, just because it was so humid and I suppose the temperature.
Perfect, yeah.
And I had, you know, sealed in the car with the windows. Yeah. And it's like, oh, man, kids, don't do that at home.
Yeah, just leave it parked for a couple weeks and you end up with a couple of bags of nice compost.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break here.
All right, good.
Play some announcements.
Good, good.
You got anything good coming up here?
We've got a Texas lawsuit about ballot security and...
For or against it?
They're Well, you know, it's hard to tell, isn't it? And then we got stuff in Ohio.
Depends on who votes.
Yeah, right. We've got things going on in Ohio, and Mike DeWine is pig biting mad.
Yeah? Okay. Yep. Okay. And I've got tips on how to cook your bear this weekend.
Oh, I've got bear cooking stories.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street. Specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like inside your favorite community radio station? Or what it's like to volunteer there? WORT is throwing an open house on Thursday, May 30th from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Meet staff and find out about volunteer opportunities. Rub elbows with your fellow listener supporters. Check out our new tech updates. We'll be giving station tours at 5, 6, and 7 p.m. Plus, we'll have snacks. That's the WORT Summer Open House on Thursday, May 30th from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Hope to see you there.
Strollers Theater and Exquisite Exploits invite you to their production of POTUS, or Behind Every Great Dumbass, Are Seven Women Trying to Keep Him Alive, opening May 30th and running through June 15th at the Bartell Theater. This irresistible farce centers around a tight, fiercely funny ensemble of women played by some of Madison's finest actors. Join Stephanie Monday, Laura McMillan, Abigail Hindle, Kendra James, Carol Robinson, Cassie Carney, Julia Houck, and Taylor Hartman Stripko as they play characters ranging from overworked White House staffers to an investigative journalist and recent mother of twins, from the president's drug dealer sister to his young lover from Iowa. What could go wrong when they all end up in a room together with the First Lady? That's POTUS, or Behind Every Great Dumbass Are Seven Women Trying to Keep Him Alive, opening May 30th and running through June 15th at the Bartell Theater, brought to you by Strollers Theater and Exquisite Exploits. More information can be found at thebartelltheater.org. This is WORT 89.9 FM and WORTFM.org. I love to laugh.
And we're back. So what do you got over there?
Well, here's a kid who, a fifth grader, paid off his elementary school's lunch debt.
Yeah.
In Blue Springs, Missouri, he raised enough money to pay off all his school's student lunch debt, and so they gave him an award for paying off all the elementary, and you know, you wonder why elementary kids have lunch debt to begin with.
That's one of those stories that gets pitched as like a feel-good story.
Right, right.
Unless you think about it for 2 seconds. Yeah, like, that's horrible.
Oh, we raised all this money to pay for your health care.
Yeah.
We raised all this money to pay for your housing. Mm-hmm. All these things that people should just have, right? That should be the baseline in a country as... Yeah. Allegedly.
Feeding children.
Yeah, feeding children would
be good.
But yeah, Republicans are against it.
Yeah.
They regularly.
Shareholder value.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
They got to eat too.
Yeah, right. Shareholders got to eat too. Oh, well, no one think of the poor billionaires.
I know. So, an international report has found that Beloit has the worst polluted air in the U.S.
Wow, just the air, huh?
A community science. Hey, I like Beloit.
Yeah. It's got a lot going on.
It's a community science initiative is continuing on its mission to monitor air quality. Volunteers in Beloit are using purple air monitors on loan from the EPA to measure air quality in six locations within the city. The clean air coordinator of Healthy Climate Wisconsin and a former Beloit City Council member said the Beloit project is trying to get more funding to expand the local air monitoring network. Well, Beloit should quit doing all those things that make the air
dirty. Yeah,
like, you know, don't be so close to Chicago for one thing.
For one thing. Do they have purple rain monitors too?
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Marketing there.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, thanks.
Maybe they need to build a wall or something.
Yeah, I think so. Between Beloit and South Beloit.
And South Beloit. I go to South Beloit once in a while and buy some gummies to help to help me sleep because I don't sleep worth a crap. And,
right.
And that's, that helps. So I was down there one time and I was paying and they were checking to see if I qualified for any discounts. And they said, yeah, were you ever in the military? And I go, no. And they said, okay. And then, but then they said, well, you do qualify for the wisdom discount.
There's no way.
It's like, you want to check that again?
Yeah, boy. There's a mistake. There's got to be some kind of mistake made here. Sorry, ma'am.
I need to talk to your supervisor.
Yeah, that's right. You are way off on that one.
It took me a second, and I realized, oh, it's the senior discount.
Yes, right.
They're just, but you know, they don't want to like call you old.
No, no. Just say you've got wisdom.
You have wisdom.
If I had wisdom, I'd probably be able to sleep.
I made the mistake of going there once. I didn't realize it was the first of the month.
Oh.
And the line was, I usually go during the week when it's not as busy, but the line was out the door, and I was already down there, and I go, okay, fine, I'll wait. And
it sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah, and it took forever. It took, I don't know, 90 minutes or something, whatever it was.
Yeah,
and it was really slow, mostly boomers, you know.
Sure.
Probably 90% boomers.
Yeah.
And at one point, you know, and people were getting kind of feisty and testy and all sorts of other E's. And then at one point, this woman who was like the manager of the branch came out, and she was kind of short. And so she got up on a chair and just started screaming at all of us. I know you have to wait a long time, but we expect you to be decent human beings when you're dealing with my staff. And if you don't want to, you can take your money and get out. My staff has no control over how long it's going to take. There are things you don't understand about this. Just ripping us a new one.
So mellow and laid back.
Oh, my God. She's turning purple. And just like, I think it was like when you get in a fight with your spouse where all this stuff comes out that had been
kitchen
building
sinking
up.
Is what they call it.
And another thing.
Back in 2004, you said.
Oh my God! Oh. It was so. At first, people were like kind of taken aback.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it went on so long, people started laughing because it was just it was like a Mad TV skit or something.
At the pot dispensary.
I know. If there's only something she could do to calm down
yes.
a little bit and relax. I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, God, that was funny.
Oh, that's funny.
It was worth the wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, since I've been spending time up north, I'm just an hour away from the border with the UP up there.
Yes.
And they have, you drive through. I'm trying to remember the name of the town. It's Ironwood.
It's right on the border.
Okay, Iron, and then Hurley.
Hurley.
On
They're
the
like
other
the twin,
side.
The twin
so
cities.
You drive through Hurley, and it's bar, gas station, bar, supper club, bar.
That's just one block.
Yeah, that's just the. And then of course there's the border. You cross into it, and it's. Like grocery store, convenience store, grocery store, and then you hit the main drag, and it's dispensary, 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 dispensary.
There's a convenience store by the Deloitte, the South Beloit dispensary, mm-hmm. and everything in there is like triple the price. Oh, you want some Cheetos?
Yeah,
huh?
So the ranch style Doritos.
What's it worth to you? Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, God. So, family stricken with rare brain worms after eating undercooked bear.
Is it the Kennedys?
You got to watch out for those brain worms.
Yes, you do. Undercooked bear.
Yeah, so you know, I know it's the holiday weekend here. A lot of people will be grilling out. So,
yeah, yeah.
So don't undercook your bear. Get one of those bear meat thermometers.
Yes, yep.
And otherwise you're going to end up, you know, running for president as an independent.
And having no idea why.
I do like, my favorite part about his candidacy is he'll be on some news show, you know, alleged news show,
news-otainment,
and they'll ask him, you know, why did you say, you know, vaccines cause you to, you know, turn into statues? And he'll go, well, I never said that. And then, all right, let's roll the clip.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah, vaccines, you'll turn into a statue if you get a vaccine. And then, and he goes, huh, I don't think I said that. You took that out of context.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. My mom cooked bear once.
Yeah, how was it? Did you look?
For the worms?
Oh, no.
I missed that. That flew like right
doesn't
over
the
my
grease
head.
Spratter on her?
Yeah, right. It seems like, I think she wore an apron.
Oh, okay.
But no, we got it from a neighbor. Our next-door neighbor was a big hunter, apparently.
Yeah, and they're bar hunting.
Yeah, went up and got a bar, shot himself a bar, and gave my mom a roast. And so she started cooking it in the kitchen, and it smelled so gamey and so strong, and it was so greasy.
It's and very greasy.
Just stunk up the entire house. And so she moved the thing out to the deck, and then the neighbors complained about the smell, so she just threw it out. So I never actually ate bear.
Oh,
but
you
I
didn't?
Did watch mom cook bear.
And he smelled it and had no interest.
No interest in bear after
it's,
that.
It's
so,
pretty...
you know, when I see the bear tacos or... You know.
Even when they're a dollar. They're not,
right. It's just not worth it.
No, so. I went bear hunting once when I was about 19 years old.
Oh, you did?
Well, I've never been into hunting, but my friends were going to go up to northern Minnesota, to Silver Lake, and go deer hunt or bear hunt. And but the bear hunting licenses were kind of rare. You had to like apply for them.
Oh, sure, yeah, and the lottery.
And I don't know if it was a lottery or what, but anyway, so they wanted an extra license for whatever reason. So I said, I'll go along.
In case they get two bears.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I got a bear hunting license, even though it's like,
nice.
If I had a gun, I'd probably like, wouldn't even know which end to hold. So I went up, but we, like I said, we were 19 years old, and the thing about bear hunting is you can hunt them like early in the morning, or at like at dusk.
Yeah, yeah.
And early in the morning was right out.
Yeah.
And then by dusk we were in no shape to be handling firearms.
Yeah, right. We used to have the deal in my high school. I grew up in a rural area of West Michigan, and hunting culture was real big.
Yeah.
And so deer hunting season, They would give you, if you had a deer hunting license, you'd get 10 days off from school to go hunting. So, of course, my friends and I.
Yes, it was like I am going deer hunting.
It was
for
8
10
bucks
days.
For the license.
Oh, my God.
And, you know,
get out of school free
get out
card.
Of school for 10 days.
Oh, that's
and we
sweet.
Had buddies with, you know, cabins. People had cabins. So just go up there, hang out, tell mom we were going deer hunting and just hang
Oh, my
out.
God. What a great scam.
Yeah, it was such a wonderful scam. Except Eddie, the idiot, he actually brought his gun and shot a deer on opening day.
Oh, no.
And got his picture in the paper. So guess who had to go back to school?
Oh. typical Eddie.
Yeah, I know. He's the guy who robbed the bakery. So
get away with a lot of bread?
Yeah, no. It was like $8.69 or something. That's, it was bar time. He'd been at Chuck and Ralph's and drank too much and had blown his whole paycheck and didn't have any money and wandered over. And Bill, whose dad owned the bakery, was working that night making the donuts. Eddie comes in because, you know, bar time, people would stop in and buy donuts.
Oh, okay.
And Bill says, "Hey, Eddie." And he says, "Stick him up. Give me all your money."
Oh, God. Okay, Eddie.
Okay, Eddie. Gave him like $8.36 or whatever.
Now you're going to have to kill me, Eddie.
Yeah, right. And so Eddie goes stumbling out, makes it not even all the way down the block, and, you know, call the cops. The cops are right there patrolling Main Street and pick him up.
5 minutes.
Yeah,
it was. Case is closed. There was a robbery in the little town of Millard, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
It was like a little bump in the road. And
they've got that theater there, the Millard Fillmore.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. East, yeah.
Yes.
The Almond Joy Brothers played there, I think. But they had a robbery there one time, and I forget what it was. Probably the liquor store, the bar, or something.
Yeah,
you know, probably not much else there. But
right.
but anyway, it had snowed, freshly snowed. So there were these footprints going. Maybe it must have been a burglary.
Yeah,
and there were these footprints going from the scene of the crime to this guy's house. And the deputies just followed the footprints.
Yeah. I'm going to make detective on this one.
That's some good police work there.
Yeah.
New evidence points to submerged village beneath Lake Mendota.
Whoa.
They found like another canoe that's about 4,500 years old.
So. Did they find a mess of them, like
11? Yeah, something like that.
A whole bunch
of canoes. Yeah, more than 10 ancient canoes have been identified now. So, and they're all rentals, so
right.
they're overdue.
And those fees keep racking up.
They do, yeah. So
well, I guess what they used to do is, like, in the wintertime when they'd head south where it was warmer, like rational people, they'd park their canoes underwater. So they'd... they'd stick them in the water, fill them full, and they'd be there when they came back, and not all dried out from the dry winter air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which makes...
Never would have thought of that.
No, that's why I'm not a... Yeah, that's why I'm not
ancient
living.
Native American.
Ancient Native American, because I wouldn't last but a week. as soon as the battery ran out on my phone, I'd be... dead in the water.
You read these stories about how like helpless the pilgrims were when they came over and stuff, and people go, "Well, they were so dumb." It's like, no, that would be me.
I have no idea what they're doing.
I'd be dead in a week.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
well, these people all have skills, but skills in England.
Yeah,
skills. They would steal the food, steal the natives' food. That was the first thing they did. They got off the boat and stole food. Yeah.
It's the immigrants.
You know.
They've always been trouble.
They've always been trouble.
Yeah. So.
They're not sending their best.
They are not. England is not sending. Well, that's kind of true.
Yeah. It's the only way to explain the Rolling Stones. So Governor Mike DeWine of Idaho. Pig biting mad. It's calling a rare special session of the General Assembly next week to pass legislation ensuring that President Joe Biden is on the state's 2024 ballots. They've been kicking this around for so long, it's come right up.
You missed
up to
the deadline.
Yep. And yeah.
But the deadline was set like before the convention.
Right. The deadline.
So there was no way they could meet the deadline.
Yeah. And. For some strange reason, they set the deadline for August 7th, knowing that the convention was the 19th through the 22nd. So, yeah. So they, got this bright idea from Colorado. Well, If they can take Trump off, we can take Biden off. They're the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin.
Trying to overthrow the government?
Yeah, yeah. Or trying to provide you health care.
Or, yeah. You know, having a convention later in August.
Yes, right.
Serves them right.
Serves them right.
So, here's a nice story. I actually like to, once in a while, try to pepper in some nice stuff. And this was this is from the Madison Reddit subreddit. Uh-huh. And it was a person who wrote, "Thank you, good people." And I'm not being sarcastic here or anything. I have to always tell people when
right,
I'm not
yeah,
being sarcastic.
Yeah, but sarcasm doesn't read that well on the radio.
They said, "Today, while biking, a wheel fell off my trailer as I was crossing an intersection.
Oop.
I was hurrying out of the intersection, and one kind man got out of his vehicle and brought the wheel to me. A couple walking past asked if I needed help. When I came back for the non-functioning trailer later, a woman pulled over in her car and got out and asked me if I needed a ride somewhere. With all the negativity in the world, I was reminded why I enjoy living here in Madison. Thank you, kind people."
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed when you're outside of Madison that the concept of, like, yielding to pedestrians or bikes is totally foreign.
Right, right.
You cannot count on that get outside the city limits.
Yeah, although, I was in Milwaukee on Sunday, and they all stopped.
Oh, really?
We didn't have to push the flashing light or anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
So,
Well, you've spent some time in California, too.
Right, actually, there in L.A., anyway, you step 1 foot off the curb, and they'll just slam on their brakes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's what I noticed in Los Angeles.
Yeah. It might just be the auto AI cars.
Right.
No, they accelerate, don't they?
They accelerate. What? I thought it was a train.
I saw something this week where they have trouble with children because they're apparently not programmed to see smaller human beings. It kind of confuses their AI. They think it's a squirrel or something.
It's something that's okay to hit.
So they don't swerve and they don't slow down.
That seems like that's not sustainable.
No. Well, that's why you got to get rid of abortion and birth control.
So we have more. Yeah, you want a surplus of kids.
Right. Right.
When the self-driving
so that
cars,
Elvin Musk can run them all down.
Yeah. Elmo.
I love Trump's comments, but he was in Pittsburgh, just actually talking to a real person. I mean, he's a local TV person.
Right, right.
So it wasn't like real hard journalism or anything.
Uh-huh.
But they asked him about birth control, and he was rambling on whether he'd want to, outlaw that. And he was, well, that's a very interesting question. He kind of kicked into his template. We're gonna take a hard look at that. Right. You're gonna love what we come up with.
We got
a couple things coming up in 2 weeks. You'll all love what we're gonna do with that. And it's like, you are gonna outlaw birth
control.
You're even like thinking about that.
Yes, yes. Well, thinking is too strong a term.
That's
I think.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's his template for anytime you ask him anything.
Yeah.
We're working on that. Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, we've been talking to some people about that.
Yeah, it's got some strong men.
I know a lot about that, just naturally.
Yeah.
My uncle went to MIT. And
one of the world's renowned experts in controlling birth.
That's probably true.
Yeah, probably.
Based on Stormy's testimony.
Oh, God.
I love the parade of the people coming.
The sycophants.
Doing the Trump cosplay there.
Yeah, the Trump bootlicking.
I got my blue suit. I got my red tie.
Yep, and I'm here behind to support you.
And it was like a rotating cat. It was like a really crappy talk show or even like the Mike Douglas show or something.
The Mike Douglas show on OAN.
And it took like 2 weeks for, Eric to show up.
Yeah.
And then right at the last day, Donald Jr. showed up.
Yeah.
He pulled his head out of his pile of baking soda.
Yes, with his sinus problems.
but it was just embarrassing.
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah. I, yeah.
And they brought one, like a Hell's Angels guy, just to...
Just to
let the jury know that...
They better be careful.
Might be in your best interest here. And
maybe find my guy not guilty.
What else we got here? A New Zealand man fined for trying to body slam an orca.
Okay, let's go through that headline
again.
New Zealand man, okay, all right.
Yep.
Accused of trying to body slam an orca.
Yeah, he was trying to body slam an orca, which also known as a killer whale.
Uh-huh.
According to New Zealand's Department of Conservation, they saw the video online and they investigate it. The guy gets out there and he wanted to body slam it. He gets close and he goes, "I touched it." And this guy's 50 years old. And,
50.
And he should know better.
Yeah.
But he's getting fined about, it's only $600, but
$600.
That's probably the optimal outcome for trying to body slam a killer whale.
They call them killer whales for a reason. I mean, you see how they're taking out yachts in the Mediterranean?
Yeah. I'm
all in favor of that.
I'm in favor of that. Somebody's got the right idea.
Yeah,
I'd vote for that. Yeah, that whale. Yeah.
Sure, it takes an orca. Vote for Willie. It takes an orca.
It's not free. No. Send your contribution today. But Ron DeSantis has signed a new bill in Florida.
Oh, help me, Ronda.
So they once in a while they light up the bridges there just for to be to be festive.
Yes,
and and unfortunately some people were using woke colors.
Oh,
and so Ron DeSantis signed
That guy Roy G. Biv.
I've heard about him.
He's pretty woke when it comes to colors.
Yeah, yeah. So, a little regular Randy Rainbow there. But so DeSantis signed a bill saying that the only colors they could light up bridges with in Florida are red, white, and blue. And I think he signed it America F yeah.
Yeah, right. That's the only colors we need. Only colors in art class are red, white, and blue.
And those don't run either.
No, so. They don't.
Yeah, And the cicadas are getting close to Wisconsin. There's some emerging down by Lake Geneva.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
like the two-cycle
killer
cicadas.
Yeah. I guess if you want to eat a cicada, I was reading this the other day.
Okay.
You have to pull its wings and legs off. It makes it less crunchy.
Oh, okay.
But I thought the crunch was the appeal.
Yeah, that's the only reason I would
eat a cicada.
Eat a cicada.
It's got that classy crunch.
I suppose you can get like puff flavor, style ones and the crunchy ones.
Yeah, yeah. So. The baked cicadas.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Cheetos.
Yeah, right. And the fried cicadas.
I thought you were going to say that they're poisonous or something.
No, apparently not. Apparently they're... I don't know if they're good eating, but apparently people eat them.
That's what we're going to be eating pretty soon.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I do like crickets with my mezcal when I'm in Mexico.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You eat crickets? Yeah,
yep, and they're pretty yummy. They come along.
Like popcorn kind of thing?
Yeah, that's fried and salty.
Yeah.
And with a little bit of spice, and they're actually pretty tasty and nice and crunchy.
Really?
And they go well with mezcal and a little bit of lime. And,
all right.
Yeah.
There's your... holiday tip for the weekend here, folks.
Yeah, fry their cicadas.
Serve something up a little different at your barbecue. So, hey, we got to get out of here.
Oh, geez.
It's time to declare.
Fast.
You didn't bring your slide whistle, did you?
No, I forgot it. Oh. I was lucky I remembered my t-shirt.
Yeah, and your pants.
Yeah, and my pants.
How do you put those pants on, by the way?
You're not the only one who's asked.
All right, declare the weekend then.
Okay. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
There you go.
It's the weekend.
Very good. Floyd, it's great to see you.
It's
thanks
great
for
to
coming
see you.
In. So
thanks
Pants will be back
me.
Next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stick around. The kiosk is next, and then after that is the other Mr. S with Who Cooks for You? And again, thanks for listening. You are wonderful people that we love.
You all.
We do love you. Yeah, you know, do. in a very unnatural way.
Right. But,
so. All right. Have a great holiday weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye bye. And it is 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison. 'Cause a woman got you, what she got,
as much you want. Hey! This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, May 24th.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. This day in labor history, the year was 1949. That was the day that a shotgun blast broke through a closed window and struck Victor Reuther as he sat reading a newspaper in his living room. Victor, along with his brothers Walter and Roy, were leaders of the United Auto Workers Union, one of the most powerful forces of the 20th century U.S. labor movement. During the 1930s, the three brothers moved to Detroit and became involved in the hard-fought efforts to bring unions to the motor city. Victor got a job at the Kesley Hayes Wheel Company. He joined UAW Local 174. During the Flint sit-down strike against General Motors, Victor gave speeches to help rally the strikers. According to Mike Smith of Wayne State University, Victor, quote, had this deep resonating voice. He coupled that with a superb control of the language. And when he got up to give a speech, it was usually a beauty. Victor would go on to become the UAW's education director and international director. Roy took up the role of legislative director. Walter became the union's president. Their union leadership made many enemies for the three Reuther brothers. Walter was the victim of a gunshot attack in 1948 that permanently injured one of his arms. The next year, an unknown would-be assassin took aim at Victor. The blast hit Victor in the face. He lost his right eye, and the bullet smashed his jaw and collarbone. In his memoir, Victor wrote that he told the surgeon, quote, "They can take out my eye and take of an arm or a leg."